found in Joshua, chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. We'll hit that in just a moment. There's a little chapel in the hills of the Scottish Highlands, and it has a sign chiseled in Gaelic on the front door of the building. Translated into English, it says, "Come as you are, but don't leave as you came." Isn't that good? And that's the whole thing about coming to church, friends, in God's house. And when you're in your quiet time by yourself with the Lord, allow your worship before the Lord to go in as you were and all that you are, all the luggage that you might be carrying. But when you leave that room or you leave this church, you go away different. And that's the whole thing about God's house and the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, whoever we are when we come to Jesus, we come to Jesus just as we are. When I came to Jesus as a 12-year-old boy, I came to Jesus just like I was, the beginnings of a little sinner. And God changed my heart that day. On the outside, it was still not perfected, but I was becoming perfected. But inside, I was perfect because Christ lived in me. And he saw all that I was, and he accepted me, and he changed me. And there's a process that's been going on in my outside, my mind, my will and emotions, and my body and its members that God constantly is changing. But my inside, I'm already made complete. And so are you if you know Jesus. You know that song, that old hymn, "Just As I Am"? How would you like to sing that one? Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. And he saw you come, and he saw me came. He come to him, and we were changed. He wasn't looking for all the do this, do this, do this, do this. And this got to be done before he can come up here on my stage. No, it's you're already made complete in my sight because of the work that I've done for you, because you're precious in my sight. What a beautiful little song, so many times sung in the Billy Graham arenas of faith as he preached. In the end of his preaching, that song would be sung over and over and over again. As a boy, I used to listen to the radio stations on Sunday night, him preaching, and that song coming on. I used to weep before God every night, every Sunday. God, do something with my life. God, do something with my life. I know what's going on. I can see certain things in my life. God, keep me close. Keep me close when I want to fail. Keep me close when I want to move away. Keep me close to keep on going when I feel like I want to quit. And that song would come on over and over and over again. And Jesus would just come in and refresh. My spirit would just be overwhelmed with his presence, and to be able to face another day, another week, whatever was going on. Message this morning is entitled "Crossing Your Jordan." I preached it, used that title before, but I want to hit a different area this morning and bring some thoughts that I've gone over. I've had a bit of a go at this. I was up so fairly late last night. Got a lot of this material during the times before, but there's a struggle last night because I know there's a struggle in here today. Some of you are struggling in here today. I know in my life, don't just say, oh, you know, there are. If you're going through a struggle, that's all part and parcel of life. But there's one who is above your problem and above your struggle, and that's Jesus. And he's able to get you through and over and across that boundary that you've been facing. You come up to it all the time, and you come up to it, and it looks as though you'll never be able to ever get across to the other side. But God says, cross over. because I asked you to go over. And when God asks you to do something, friends, he goes with you. He doesn't just go and allow you to go by yourself. So no matter what situation you might be facing this morning, Tom, I so appreciate your honesty. We have been there. And I'm not saying it because just to say we've got an edge over that, but I'm saying we can get in the same canoe with you. We have been there. And it's not an easy thing when you get up in the morning and you're facing something where you've got zero, even in finances. And then during the course of the day or during the week, God supernaturally, miraculously takes care of all your needs according to his riches in glory. That's how it happens when we seek his kingdom first. It's a tough one. Life throws some tough situations. But I've got some good news for you this morning, friends, is that I'm so glad that you've come here to the Crossway, this church, this ministry, this morning. In fact, why don't you just go and look to the person next to you and tell them, get ready to be blessed. Just encourage the person next to you. If you want to shake their hand, that's all right too. Praise God. Let's take a look at Joshua chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. After the death of Moses, there's a great transition taking place here. There's a transition of leadership. There's a transition of an older person, a patriarch of faith that has gone on to be with the Lord, who led God's people out of captivity. And now there's a young one, a younger one coming up. He's not a teenager, but he's a younger person coming up that has gone through the ranks and had been watching every move that Moses made in leading God's people and seeing the differences every time he got with God, the changes that took place in Moses' life. And now this man is called to the forefront. And you know, sometimes God is going to call you to the forefront. And it's not going to be an easy task when you first look at it. But let me tell you something. Remember this, you're not the only one that was called up ever, first one, to be called up to the front of a rank to do something for God. There have been myriads of people that have gone on before you. And we've got myriads of people and their testimonies of what God has done in and through their lives as they begin to do what God had asked them to do, as they crossed over that Jordan River, in a sense, of their lives, that border, that limitation, that every time they come up to it, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't get over this thing. Yes, you can. Because we have a host. We have a host of people, a cloud of witnesses, as it says in Hebrews, that have gone on before us just to encourage us. They did it. Now you can do it. They did it. Now I can do it. And we have a life right now that you're living that you can prove and test God, and he'll get you through. Is everyone happy this morning? If you're not, I pray God that the Holy Spirit just gets the sides of your mouth and starts to pull the ends up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's take a look. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan. Go over this Jordan. So he was at a boundary. He was at a boundary in his life. And what God was going to say to him, it was going to enhance his vision of what that border was really like. But God said, go up to the border and cross over. Go over this Jordan. It's interesting that he uses this Jordan. Why didn't he say, go over the River Jordan? No, he says, go over this Jordan, because it was a new day, it was a new level, it was a new devil, it was a new commission, it was a new position that this fellow was just going to be incorporated in, if, and it would only come if he crossed over. What God has planned for you, friend, will never ever take place unless you go over, unless you cross over. You have to do it. Don't be praying to God over and over and over again, God, I'm your servant, here, take me, send Pastor Sue. So send I you. No, send Pastor Marianne. So send I you. No, send Pastor David. No, David Watson. Send someone else, but don't send me. He says, go over this Jordan, you and all this people. You see, with yourself connected to what God has asked you to do, there are also people that are connected with you as you go. You're not a solo. And this is the whole thing behind the kingdom of God. The fruit that we bear in other people's lives, they're following our journey. They're following with us, not necessarily to act like Pastor Chuck. You don't act like David Watson. You don't act like Tom Collins, but you act like the Christ in them. And if you look hard enough, and it doesn't take much of a look, you can see Christ in people if they're born again. And all this people to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Do you know that you're connected today with this verse of Scripture because we've been grafted in to the children of Israel? They had to get born again. That was coming up in the future times when Jesus would come. But we're grafted in with these people that Jesus is talking about. There's a Jordan for every single one of us today that you're facing. God says, cross it. Go to this Jordan that is in front of you and cross it. Cross over. Every place, and this is the promise, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. That is quite a promise, friends. I tell you what, that's exciting to me. Is that exciting to you? God. Well, let's take a look at a few things here. Joshua. You see, when you remember always when you're reading the Word of God, God's Word is it's supernatural. And so when you're reading things like this, you can't look at it like in a natural sense. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into the truth of what the Spirit of God has said and is saying to you this morning. It's not a bygone story. This is alive, a living story. The Word of God is living, sharper than any two-edged sword, and does mighty things to the people that receive it. An old story, it is, yes. And you say, well, Pastor Chuck, how does this relate to me? Well, the Word of God doesn't change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who do you think was talking to Joshua on that day? Who do you think was not coaxing, but who do you think was behind the move of the Holy Spirit to cause Joshua to do what he was about to do? It was Jesus. It was God, all in one, the Holy Spirit. The Jordan it's an interesting word. If you don't know, sometimes if you're sitting here and you think, okay, Jordan River. What's the Jordan River? Well, the term is a very interesting term because it actually portrays the idea of a boundary. Anyone here, now you know, do you know what I'm talking about? Do you have a boundary in your life that you've kept on coming up? Maybe you've got more than one boundary that you've come up and you keep on coming up to it. Some people call it a mountain. You go around the mountain. You keep on coming to that mountain, go around and around, and you never get through it. You go around it all the time. Well, we're talking about a boundary, sort of the same thing. There's a boundary or a limitation that you face every time you come up to a certain point in your life that you want to move, and you know God's saying, move forward. It's time to move forward. Something that indicates the border of an area or its limits. In the game of cricket, you've got the border, and when the batsman, he hits the ball, that ball is always, the players on the field, they always make sure that that ball doesn't reach the boundary. Because if it reaches the boundary, the batman gets a 4. And if it goes further than that, to get a 4, it's a bounce or more. But if it goes into the grandstand, you get a 6. This is what God wants to do for every single one of us here. Nothing wrong with getting 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Nothing wrong with going to the border and getting a 4 and a 6. You've prospered. You've been blessed. You've been enriched. You've been empowered. You see, there's a positive connotation behind all of these things. And like Joshua of old, we all have boundaries in this room. Every single one of us have certain boundaries that either we have set up, Satan has set up, or a combination of society, Satan, and ourselves has set up. I can't do that. How many here have ever, you don't have to raise your hands, how many here have ever been asked to do something? Well, I can't do that. I can't go on a missions trip. I can't put together this. I can't go to university. I can't do this. I can't do that. Would you do this? No, I can't do that. I'm not qualified. That's a boundary. You know the kind of stories I like? Are the people that have very little education and they're millionaires today. Or they're thousand, hundred thousandaires today. Whatever you want to call them. They've broken through something that the society says, and even themselves, they were breathing out, can't do it. Until they had a change inside, they faced the boundary, and they decided to go over. And they did something that was just absolutely incredible. Something that was awesome. Something that only not only blessed them, but blessed other people as well. Put them in a direction to conquer. If you cross over, friends, you are going to conquer what is unconquerable right now in your life. If you're going to cross over, you'll become a victorious person when you cross over the boundary or the boundaries that have been set up. What is going on here? Is that this? In the name of Jesus. It's this one. How are we going to get this off? This is, in the name of Jesus, this is my boundary this morning, man. This is it.
Because you didn't put him on the boundary.
What? That's all right. I love it. Man, I can touch computers, man, and just do the wildest things. I can sit on buttons and they work. Ask my wife. I don't know, man. I don't really care. I'm preaching. Listen, you know, the Bible, in the Bible itself, gee, many crickets. In the Bible itself, the River Jordan is mentioned 185 times in the Old Testament, and it's mentioned 15 times in the New Testament. Do you think that God's trying to say something to us when you think about it this morning with a message like this? Moses, you know, wrote the book of Deuteronomy on the banks of the Jordan River. Let's go through a few things here. You know, the Jordan River dried up three different times, once for Elijah, once for Elijah, and once for Joshua to cross over. So John the Baptist, on the other hand, it's not just for the Old Testament dudes and people, but John the Baptist in the New Testament preached from the River Jordan. What did he preach? Jesus that was yet to come. Jesus who was going to invade and come on the scene in just in a matter of a short few moments. Jesus would come on the scene. He actually began to preach the gospel, Christianity, from the River Jordan. Do you know what Christianity is all about? Crossing over from death to life. From going to the kingdom of darkness, being taken out by a power that is not ours or available in our own means, being taken out of the kingdom of darkness by a greater power, and that's Jesus Christ, placed into the kingdom of light and the kingdom of God, which is God's kingdom. Only Jesus can do that. But it's crossing over. And that message of crossing over, that message of Christianity from darkness to light, came out from the River Jordan. Do you think God's trying to say something this morning? I know what God's trying to say to me. Cross over in areas. Cross over and start to see the hand of God moving in your life. You know, today they've changed that, and they've got people with the connotation that it has today is people are crossing over. I can see it on some of the young people's face. Cross over. Sex lines, gender lines, all kinds of lines. We're not talking about that this morning. That's the filth that the world has. The purity of what God is saying here is you cross over the Jordan. You cross over your limitation. You cross over the boundary that has been put up in your life, whether you've done it, Satan, or a combination of environment, the whole lot. Cross over and taste and see what I can do for you. Praise God. You stand on the banks of your Jordan River as you stand there this morning. What is it that challenges you? I don't know what it is, unless the Holy Spirit says, thus saith the Lord. What is it that challenges you from not going over that boundary that is set up before you? Maybe there's several boundaries, I don't know. What is it? Is it fear? Something that caused you to be fearful inside? Is it something that intimidates you to do it? Let me ask Nathan something. Nathan, just stand up for a second so we can see a pretty face. Nathan, let me ask you a question. Before you did your trades for Bricky, becoming a Bricky, when you first got there, was there any, or even before you took it, were you slightly intimidated at all, or did you think, like, man, I can't do this? Just be truthful. So you were actually facing a boundary that was up here that you had to overcome. Thank you, young man. You can be seated. Whether you're young or old, you just have to be honest. There are things that we are facing right now that you may be going through, that you maybe want to do. Maybe you've got a dream that God has placed in you. Dreams, God's dreams don't get old. You do. But it doesn't make any difference how old you are. God will still, like Abraham, fulfill his dream through you if you trust him. If you have faith to believe him, if you cross over that boundary and believe God that he can do it, and it's not impossible. For things that are impossible with me, man, I know, I just got to look back now. All things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. I declare to you this morning God's word, what it says. Jeremiah 29:11, we preach it all the time, a lot of times. Jeremiah says that God has a plan for you. I know the plans that I have for you. All of you, he knows them. All of us here, all around the world, people that are coming to Christ, he knows the plans that he has for every single one of us. And they're not evil. They're not there to embarrass and bring shame on you. They're not there to cause you to fail. They're there because they're good ones to cause you to walk into a future of something that you thought would never, ever take place, and to give you a hope that goes beyond what the world says hope is. It's a supernatural hope to believe that it's just with expectation, it's just around the corner. If I just keep on moving and don't stop short of what God has asked me to do, cross over that boundary, God will see me through. God will see you through. You know, in past times I've talked about the eagle, and there was a song that we sang this morning about in regards to the eagle. And, you know, it's the eagle's it's a fascinating, majestic bird. It's the greatest of the bird kingdom. And something about that eagle, there's several different stages that the eagle goes through, but the one that captures my attention the most is called a molting season that the eagle goes through. This molting season only begins after a fairly short span for our time. After about 4 years thereabouts, this bird begins to feel something take place in itself, partly because of its continued flying and soaring and hunting and getting prey and swooping and picking up things to bring up to a nest and doing all these different things and grabbing a hold of, you know, its prey that sometimes is even almost as heavy as it is, or sometimes even a bit more. And it starts to go through a season internally in its DNA. Something begins to happen, but something also that the environment begins to do with it. It begins to go through a process called molting. All of a sudden, its feathers need to be pulled out. It's a season where the outer garment, in a sense, it knows that it has to come off. So he begins to literally pluck its own feathers out of himself. It's almost like pulling your fingernails out. In some degrees, that's what it feels like to the bird. But he has to do it. It has to do it. And then on the beak, you know, it starts to get crusty and brittle. some of the pieces fall off that beak, and its feet, the talons, the same thing happens to it. But before this begins to happen, it finds a place. It's a bleak sort of a valley, high valley area, where birds that go through this, the eagles that go through this, they nest there. That's the only place they can go. And they go there to go through this molting process, but really they go there, and it's a death sentence. Really, it's a boundary. It becomes a boundary to them. Because they were not once like they used to be. They didn't have the majestic wingspan and all the feathers, the plumage that was there to make them soar high above the clouds and the storms. They didn't have the strength in their legs and their talons to go down and pick up the prey. They don't have that anymore. Their beak can't be used anymore. So really, they're old, ugly, and no good for nothing the way they look. And they're ready, and they're in a dying process. But I want to tell you something, friends. There's something interesting about our Creator, how God inscribed in their DNA, there's a process that every eagle like that goes through. And when these birds, these eagles, start to go through this molting process and they get in that bleak valley plain up high, all of a sudden there are other ones that begin to fly over. And they don't fly over just to fly over. They're older birds that went through a similar thing. They also went through the molting process. And when they were going through the molting process, there were other older birds that went through that process and flew over and dropped pieces of meat, food for them to eat. Not just one day, day after day after day, until they realized that these birds were recovering, being healed, and the majesty of these majestic birds was starting to rise up again, and they were able to fly off. So these other older birds now are dropping the morsels as was done to them. They were dropping the morsels of food. Are you seeing what's happening here, friends? Dropping the morsels of food for these eagles who are molting to eat. Otherwise, they would die. Over and over and over again. And these molting birds would get to a stage where they would start eating these morsels of food and strength would start coming back. We read about that this morning. The Lord is the strength. He's our strength. He gives us manna that the world does not give. We're talking about spiritual food as well. He gives us food to eat that the world cannot receive. It's spiritual food. But there's also things that we have to look at, friends, that, you know, these birds, they get back to a point where they are majestic birds again. Off they go, off the perch, and they start doing the whole process off again. They're fierce hunters. They can breed again. They're all the different things that they were not able to do going through that molting season they were able to do. Friends, I want to tell you something. It may be that you've been coming to this church, and maybe you've been in Christianity. Maybe you've gone to other churches as well. And there have been times when you were ready to quit. You are sort of like this eagle. I don't say that you're old, ugly, no good for nothing. But sometimes inside, friends, you can be a young person, feel old, ugly, and no good for nothing. And sometimes God used a sermon, like maybe the one that's being preached this morning. Sometimes he can use a band and a song that they play, and the singer that sings it can sing a song that causes the heavenly sound to come back and the Spirit of God to blow through your spirit again to bring you hope, to bring you food, spiritual food, to cause you to become healed again. There's a process that each of us, there's a responsibility as well that each of us have for each other. When you see those who are in strife, when you see those who are discouraged, encourage them. You know, it may be that you're here today and maybe your beak is getting a little brittle. Maybe you've been plucking your feathers off and you can't fly and soar or have the strength like you used to have it. I'm talking to young people too. Do you ever see emaciated young people because of drugs and substance abuse? Or just not even going through that, just they give up on life because they're so depressed. And they just look horrible. They've got there's nothing in them. There's no life. Claws get a little brittle. You can't even fend for yourself anymore. Remember mommy used to take care of you? And then after a while, when you got older and more mature, you sort of got kicked out of the nest or you kicked yourself out of the nest. You got out and started fending for yourself and you had the strength to do it. And maybe over time there's been some things that have cropped up over and in your life that the boundaries have been set up and you can't do those things anymore. Jesus is here and he's able to help you. He's able to feed you in the name of Jesus. It may be this morning, friends, that if you could just realize that you may not have to do drugs anymore if you've ever tried drugs or if you're thinking about trying drugs. You don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to dislike people and go under because of what people have done with you. You don't have to worry about suffering the pain that might have been inflicted on you as a child. You don't have to go through that anymore. You don't have to jump in bed, let's be honest. You don't have to jump in bed with someone else just to get your kicks, to make yourself feel good anymore. That all has to do with weakness of flesh. That all has to do with baseness. You don't have to suffer things like depression or things like that anymore because Jesus said that he's come to give us life and to give us life abundantly. And his Holy Spirit, friends, is here this morning and he is hovering over each of our hearts. He's within you, but he's hovering over in a fresh way. And God is, if he's been speaking to you this morning about a boundary that has been set up in your life, maybe a process that you've been going through, that you've been pushing, allowing yourself to be finding a place of recluse. You want to quit. You want to quit your walk with Jesus. You want to quit being around Christians. Oh, those Christians are so... I've been there. I used to hate my pastor because he didn't like my car. That's a good excuse, isn't it? I didn't like my dad for a long time in my later teen years. I used to try to avoid talking to him because I knew he loved me and I knew he was praying that every time I did something to increase the power in my car, it would break down. I didn't like him. See, my vision was real short, but my dad saw a long way. Your vision may be short this morning, friends, but that's okay. Jesus can see all the way to the end. And he knows where to place you. He knows what to do with you. He knows that when you're hungry, he'll feed you. He knows when you need money, he'll give it to you. He knows when you need a home, he'll supply it to you. He knows when you have bills come in and, it's either tithes or I got to pay my bill. I'll let you in a little secret. When we were down, especially living in the Sydney area years and years ago, decades ago, when we were down to our last dollars and the bills came in, we tithed. I was on unemployment. I tithed. We tithed. Sometimes you can't see the results straight away, but I tell you what, when I look back now, I can't help but see the fingerprints of God all over the things that are ours. Because we were faithful in the little things. And he saw that and he says, well, I can trust them. It wasn't easy, but I can remember, friends, a time when I stood in the unemployment line because there was a youth pastor that was 25 years old at the time. And I was 31 years old. That's when we first came here, one of the first time, the first year or two. And this youth pastor called me a dole bludger. Come the closest to hitting him I ever wanted to hit somebody. That grated on me. Over the next couple of weeks, I decided to go to the unemployment office, not just because of what he said, but to prove that God would take care of us. I stood in that unemployment line. This is a true story. In Warringah, where the Warringah Mall is, out that way there in Sydney. And there was three people ahead of me, and when it came to my turn to move up to the front line, he says, okay, what papers do you have and how much money? And I says, I want to sign off of unemployment. Do you have a job? I says, no, I just want to sign off on believing God. Hello? Loser? Really? Things began to take place. It didn't happen straight overnight, but I did get myself a job. Had a wrong attitude, but I did get myself a job. And with that job, over time, God corrected my heart problem. Had the money keep on coming in. We had money and food on the table, supplies that God gave us supernaturally. And God worked the rest out. I don't have to get all into the details. The details are there, but God took care of it all. If you trust God, if you step over a mark, a boundary that has been in front of you, it's an absolute ridiculous thing. You're thinking, if I do it, I'll never make it. When the oceans rage, friends, I tell you, that's the time to jump in. Because it's the Spirit of God that will carry you over the waves and through the storms. He did it with his disciples back then. Do you think Jesus has changed? I don't think so. Amen? Do you have any boundaries that you're facing this morning? Would you like a 30, 60, 100-fold prospering gift to come your way? You have to get over. I'm not just talking about prosperity this morning, friends. I'm talking about prospering first in our spirit man. And then everything that we touch begins to take a new tone on it. There's a freshness that we go out with. Maybe you are facing, I don't know. I put some of these things down that the Spirit of God gave me. Maybe you're facing suicide this morning. I don't know. Nobody else knows you either. Maybe you've been facing a thought of suicide because it's just too much. You've not told your wife. Maybe you've not told your mom. Maybe you've not told anybody. You've been facing and thinking about suicide. You know, there's a lot of people giving up and dying through suicide. It's a spirit. Satan snuffing out a whole life. Maybe you've been facing certain things, whether it's in tempting with drugs or experimenting with this or experimenting with that, or you know that you've not been using your body properly as unto the Lord for his honor and for his glory. It's an area that God will take, and he'll bless you if you hand that over to him. God will satisfy you. He'll satisfy you more than suicide, far more. He'll satisfy you more than sex. He created it. He'll satisfy you better than drugs, because drugs take a complete zero compared to what he'll show you in visions, in the spirit. Maybe you've got an addiction that you've been going through and you just can't shake it. That's a boundary that's been in your life. I'm saying these things, friends, because I don't know the people here today, but I do know that Jesus is here and he knows your heart. And maybe you don't even want to tell Jesus, but he already knows it. Sorry. But he's not pointing his finger at you except to say, come. Come on, I can take care of it. Come on, you can get over that. I'm going to help you. Come on up, and I'll take you over that Jordan River, that boundary that's been set up, and every time you've tried to get over it, you can't get over it. I wonder if we could all stand this morning, if we can have our musicians come on up. If we could sing that last song. Appreciate your time. This morning, I just want to give us an opportunity to yes. Oh yeah, yes, yep. Are you going to sing it? Am I? Okay. I just want to give everyone an opportunity this morning. If the Spirit of God has been speaking to your hearts about what has been said this morning, the song worship this morning, Ben's coming out, he can sing it. Appreciate you, Ben. Why don't we just let the band just play it through that one chorus part once, and then, Ben, if you want to lead us into worship. God's been speaking to your heart, friends. I want you to make the move to cross your boundary. And I tell you, one of the hardest boundaries that I found as a young kid was right here. Coming over the line. Everybody's looking. And I was very intimidated by people when I was young. Too much. Gone now. But if that's you, don't be intimidated.
Jesus, I love you. I love you.
I know there's more than one person, a couple of people. If I could just say this, I'm not trying to pull teeth this morning, but I just want to, I can't even help the Holy Spirit because it's His business. But what I'll use is maybe words that can maybe describe maybe what you're feeling inside as the Spirit would show me is that, you know, sometimes there, if I can say this, I've said it so many times in the past because I've had to deal with it, pride is a killer. Pride is causes one to be defeated and stay in a defeated position. Pride is one thing that is a spirit that is in man that needs to be overcome. And the only way to overcome that spirit of pride for God to do something, it says to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Coming to the front, you're not making me look good. I know you know that. Coming to the front, we're not just trying to fill the altar up. Coming to the front this morning, friends, is you taking charge over your life and allowing God to do the rest. That's all you have to do is come forward. God will do the rest. So I want us to sing a song. You know, our sister was talking about revival, preparing our hearts for the revival. You know, friends, we are the beginnings of the revival in Illawarra. We are the beginnings of revival in our nation. Think about it. It only took a handful of people at Azusa Street and it touched the world. Think about it. There was a revival here of over 100 years ago where thousands of people got saved and they said it was going to happen all over again. Think about the prophecy that was over Azusa Street at the end, that about 100 years' time, the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the last and the former rain together, flowing out as a river. As a river, what's stopping you from going into the river today? What's stopping me from entering the river today, crossing over that boundary line to score for Jesus? You're not scoring for me. You're not scoring for yourself. You're scoring and allowing Jesus to get in and through you like He's never done before, but He so desperately wanted to. You may have an eating problem. You may have some kind of another problem that's not even been mentioned. That is your boundary. The church is not here just to cause people to come up. We have altar calls like this. Some churches don't give altar calls. So people go away the same. But churches that give altar calls, it's not just to expose people. Oh, look at them coming up because they got sin in their lives. Or no. My heart and the Lord's heart for sure so rejoices when He sees, just like Billy Graham's crusades, when the sinner or the people, the Christians who were going through things came up, that was the breaking of the power of the devil over their lives. Do you need the power of the devil broken over your life? It's stepping over that boundary. It's crossing over that Jordan, that limit, that boundary that's been set up. Every time you've tried to do it, maybe in past times, you felt like you wanted to come up, but you just couldn't because people were going to look at you. Or you didn't want to come up because you just felt so ill at ease. But you go home ill at ease because it's not been changed. Let's sing it again. Be true to Jesus, not yourself. Be true to Jesus, not this church. Be true to Jesus. Let's sing it together.
Your spirit like water. to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my
feet. Show us the way to go, Jesus.
Jesus, I love you. I love you. Jesus. Spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. I love you. Your spirit like water to my soul.